द महाभारत चैप्टर 102 युधिष्ठिरा रूल्स। मैन pursues madly the object of his desire until it is obtained. When it is in his possession, he is soon sated, but he becomes the slave of ever fresh longings and fresh griefs and finds no peace. Although to fight and to kill his enemies is a kshatriya's dharma, what joy can one get out of power and position and wealth acquired by slaughter and grief inflicted on brothers and near relations? It was this that Arjuna pointed out in his powerful plea before Krishna when the battle commenced. Krishna, in answer, explained the principles of man's activities and the proper discharge of one's duties. But what Arjuna felt and argued had also a great deal of force, and there was more truth in it than appeared on the surface. The Pandavas defeated the Kauravas, became the unquestioned sovereigns of the land. They took up their duties, discharged them according to dharma, but they found not in victory the joy they had expected. When the Pandavas won and obtained the kingdom, how did they treat Dhritarashtra? Asked Janamejaya, king, and Vaishampayana, who recited Vyasa's Mahabharata to the king, tells the story. Dhritarashtra, who was plunged in a sea of grief, was treated by the Pandavas with the utmost respect. They tried to make him happy. They did nothing to make him feel humiliated. Yudhishthira issued no orders except with his approval. Gandhari, whose 100 sons had disappeared like dream gold, was looked after by Kunti Devi with loving and sisterly devotion, and Draupadi dutifully ministered to them both with equal respect. Yudhishthira furnished Dhritarashtra's house with rich seats and beds and decorations and all else that was wanted. He sent from the royal kitchen most dainty and palatable dishes prepared for him. Kripacharya lived with Dhritarashtra and kept him company. Vyasa comforted him with instructive stories of olden times calculated to assuage his sorrow. In the administration of affairs of the state, Yudhishthira consulted Dhritarashtra and conducted himself so as to give him the feeling that in truth the kingdom was ruled on his behalf, and that he, as the eldest member of the family, was still the supreme authority. Yudhishthira was most careful in his speech, never to allow himself to say anything to cause pain to the bereaved old man. The princes who came to Hastinapura from all parts of the world gave Dhritarashtra the same honors as they did of old, as if he was still the emperor. The women attendants gave Gandhari no occasion to feel her fallen estate. Yudhishthira had instructed his brothers most strictly that nothing should be done to cause the slightest pain to their uncle, who had lost all his sons. The brothers, with perhaps the exception of Bhima, followed this injunction faithfully. Dhritarashtra too conducted himself lovingly towards the Pandavas. He showed no ill will towards them, even as he was shown no unkindness by them. The Pandavas behaved unexceptionably towards their old uncle. After a time, however, Bhima began on occasions to give cause for offense. He would sometimes countermand the old man's instructions. He would let fall in Dhritarashtra's hearing words like, "Those perverse cousins of ours have themselves to thank for their destruction." It was not possible for Bhima to forget or forgive Duryodhana, Karna, or Dushasana. Gandhari felt intensely grieved when she noticed that Bhima uttered words which pained Dhritarashtra. She was, however, a noble and enlightened soul. Whenever she felt pained at what Bhima said, she would look at Kunti and find peace. For Kunti was a veritable embodiment of dharma and inspired forbearance. 15 years passed in this manner. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurtara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvani Tirmatirmama. The Mahabharata chapter 103, Dhritarashtra. 15 years passed under King Yudhishthira's reign when old Dhritarashtra found himself utterly unable any longer to bear the burden of grief. Hurt by Bhima's occasional reproaches, he found no heart to accept the courtesies and comforts provided under King Yudhishthira's orders. Unknown to the Pandavas, he secretly fasted and underwent hard penances. Gandhari too observed many fasts and inflicted privation upon herself. One day, Dhritarashtra sent for Dharmaputra and spoke to him thus, "Son, blessings on you. I have spent 15 happy years under your roof. You have tended me most lovingly. I have made gifts and offerings to ancestors and fulfilled all my desires." Bereaved Gandhari, laying aside her own grief, has ministered to my physical wants all these years. My cruel sons, who committed unforgivable wrong to Draupadi and deprived you of your lawful inheritance, perished on account of their sins. But they fought like brave soldiers, died in the battlefield. They've gone to the happy regions reserved for the brave. The time has come when with Gandhari I must do what has to be done for our next state. You know what the Shastras have laid down. I must now go to the forest. These robes must be replaced by bark, tattered old clothes, suitable for the life of vanaprasthas. I desire to go and live in the forest, praying for your good. I want your permission for this. Let me follow the practice of our fathers. As king, you will share in the fruits of my penance." Yudhishthira received a shock when he saw Dhritarashtra and heard him say this, "I did not know that you had been fasting and sleeping on the bare ground and mortifying your flesh in this manner. My brothers too were unaware. I was misled into believing you were well looked after. Father, you have suffered grief for which there can be no solace. I see no good in kingdom or pleasures. I am a sinner. Desire and ambition deceived me into this. Let your son Yuyutsu be king, or anyone else you choose. Or If you will do so, you yourself may take up the duties of king and look after the people. I shall go to the forest. Let me terminate this chapter of error. I implore you to save me from further obloquy and burning shame. I am not the king. You are the king. You ask me for permission to go? How then can I give or refuse permission to you? Let me assure you that my anger against Duryodhana is a thing of the past, gone without a trace. Fate willed it and engulfed us all in confusion of mind, and events happened which were not in our control. We are your children, even like Duryodhana and his brothers. Gandhari and Kunti are alike mother to me and command equal regard and filial affection from me, their child. If you go away to the forest, I must go with you and serve you there. If you retire to the woods and leave me here, what joy shall I have in kingship? I prostrate myself before you, implore you to forgive the errors we have been guilty of. Serving you will give me true joy and peace of mind. Give me that opportunity and privilege. Do not desert me. Dhritarashtra was deeply moved, but he said, Kunti's beloved son, my mind is fixed on going to the forest and on penance. I can find no peace otherwise now. I have lived under your roof for many years. You and all your people have served me with unstinted devotion. You must permit me now to fulfill my wish and let me go. Having thus spoken to Yudhishthira, who stood with clasped hands, trembling with agitation, Dhritarashtra turned to Vidura and Kripacharya. I beg of you to comfort the king, make him grant my prayer. My mind is fixed on the forest. I am unable to speak anymore. I am feeling dry in my throat. Perhaps it is due to age. I have talked too much. I am tired. Saying this, he leaned helplessly on Gandhari and swooned. Yudhishthira was unable to bear this distress of the grand old man who had possessed the sinews of an elephant and had strength enough to crush the metal figure of Bhima into powder. How lean he had become now and emaciated, with his bones showing through his skin, piteously leaning senseless on Gandhari like one destitute. Have I caused all this? He reproached himself. Miserable and unworthy am I, ignorant of dharma, devoid of intelligence, a curse on my learning. He sprinkled water on Dhritarashtra's face and caressingly stroked him with his soft hands. When the old man recovered, he tenderly clasped the Pandava to his bosom and muttered, my dear boy, how sweet is your touch. I am happy. Then Vyasa entered. When he was acquainted with what had happened, he said to Yudhishthira, do what Dhritarashtra, eldest of the Kurus, desires. Let him go to the forest. He is old. All his sons have gone before him. It is not possible for him much longer to bear his grief. Gandhari, whom God has blessed with enlightenment, has borne her sorrows with courage. Do not stand in the way of their wishes. Let not Dhritarashtra pine away and die here. Let him go, live among the honey-laden flowers of the forest and breathe their fragrance, leaving the cares of the world behind. The dharma of kings is to die in battle or to spend their last days in retirement in the forest. Dhritarashtra has ruled the kingdom and performed yajnas. When you were in the wilderness for 13 years, he enjoyed the wide earth through his son and gave bounteous gifts. You left him nothing to desire. The time has come for him to do penance. Let him go with your hearty consent, without anger in his heart. Dharmaraja said, "So be it." Then Vyasa returned to his hermitage. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurtara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Truvani Tirmatirmama. The Mahabharata, Chapter 104. The passing away of the three. When Yudhishthira at last gave his consent for Dhritarashtra's retirement to the forest, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari went back to their residence and broke their fast. Kunti sat with Gandhari and they ate together. Dhritarashtra asked Yudhishthira to sit by him and give him his last blessings. Then the old man stepped out and with his hand resting on Gandhari's shoulder, slowly walked out of the city on his journey to the forest. Gandhari, who because of her lord and husband was blind, gave up the use of her eyes and wrapped her face with her napkin all her life, placed her hand on Kunti's shoulder and slowly walked along thus guided. Kunti had decided in her mind to go with Gandhari to the forest. As she walked on, she was speaking to Yudhishthira, "Son, do not ever let your speech be angry when you speak to Sahadeva. Remember with love Karna, who died a hero's death on the battlefield. He was my son, but I committed the crime of not disclosing it to you. And look after Draupadi with unfailing tenderness. Do not ever give cause for grief to her or to Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva. Keep this ever in mind, son. The burden of the family is now wholly on you." Dharmaputra had till then believed that Kunti was accompanying Gandhari only for a distance to say goodbye. When he heard her speak thus, he was taken aback, was speechless for a few minutes. When he recovered from the shock, he said, "Mother, not thus. You blessed us, sent us to battle. It is not right you should now desert us and go to the forest." Yudhishthira's entreaties were, however, of no avail. Kunti held to her purpose. "I must join my lord and husband wherever he be now. I shall be with Gandhari and go through the discipline of forest life and soon join your father. Go back, unagitated. Return to the city. May your mind ever stand steady on dharma." Thus did Kunti bless her illustrious son and depart. Yudhishthira stood speechless. Kunti went on her way, looking back occasionally at him and her other sons, each with hand on the shoulder of the other, this picture of the three elders of the tribe, wending their way to the forest, leaving their sons behind, is painted by the poet so vividly that it fills the reader with solemn grief, as if the parting happened in his own family now. Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and Kunti spent 3 years in the forest. Sanjaya was with them. When one day Dhritarashtra finished his ablutions and returned to their hermitage, the forest had caught fire. The wind blew and the flames spread everywhere. The deer and the wild boar ran in herds hither and thither, rushed madly to the pools. Dhritarashtra told Sanjaya, "This fire will envelop us all. You had better save yourself." Saying this, the blind old king Gandhari, with her eyes blindfolded, and Kunti sat down on the ground, the three of them facing eastwards in yoga posture, and calmly gave themselves up to the flames. Sanjaya, who had been to the blind king throughout all his days, his only light, and was dear to him like life itself, spent the rest of his days in the Himalayas as a sannyasin. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno Yatra Partho Dhanurtara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Truvani Tirma Tirmama.